You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, for younger workers, changing jobs multiple times may be the new normal. An expert tells us why more people are applying to jobs with plans to quit.
First, three women who have accused President Trump of sexual misconduct spoke out at a press conference today calling for a congressional investigation. Here's accuser Rachel Crooks during today's press conference.
I want to believe that as Americans, we can put aside our political inclinations and admit that some things, in fact, do transcend politics, that we will hold Mr. Trump to the same standard as Harvey Weinstein and the other men who were held accountable for their reprehensible behavior. Therefore, I ask that Congress put aside their party affiliations and investigate Mr. Trump's history of sexual misconduct.
Vanessa Tyson is an assistant professor at Scripps College, and she's with us now to talk about this press conference and a possible congressional investigation. Vanessa, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, what did you make of today's press conference? And then the three women at the conference also spoke with Megyn Kelly about the same issues today.
You know, I found all three women very compelling in terms of their ability to detail their interactions with Donald Trump. With one case where, you know, the woman who was sitting next to the plane, next to Donald Trump on the plane, didn't realize who he was, only that, you know, he was groping her without her permission and without any kind of consent whatsoever. All three women seemed to show a demonstrable amount of bravery, particularly given the fact that they weren't asking anything for themselves. They were, you know, there was no identifiable benefit that they would have other than the fact that they wanted the truth to come out.
Now, the three women had shared their stories. This came out in the news before Election Day 2016. Theirs and a handful of other women, about a dozen-ish, depending on who's counting. Is something different now? The stories came out then. Are we going to take them more seriously now, given, as we heard there, Harvey Weinstein and all the stories that have broken over the last couple of months?
I think we've seen a tremendous increase in consciousness and awareness, particularly amongst sexual assault survivors. The reality is that so many women, and men for that matter, have been victims of sexual assault and sexual harassment in their day-to-day interactions. And that awareness that has kind of emerged both as, you know, in part with the election of Trump, but also with the consequent Women's March and any number of stories coming to light, is the fact that these experiences are not isolated events, that in fact they're patterns and they're trends that millions of people across the country have experienced in their day-to-day interactions.
Go ahead. Is there something significantly different between somebody in politics in this situation and anywhere else? We've seen a lot of people in the media, in entertainment, in business get fired for accusations like this. But for a politician, if they don't leave of their own volition, it's kind of hard to get them out of there until the next election day.
It truly is, and particularly if there are no criminal charges put forth. There's a longstanding joke that the way to get rid of a politician, or, you know, the most likely way, is that politicians step down or either retiring or passing away. That, you know, we have a legislature that is much older than, say, the average age of the American public. But politics is different in a number of ways. There's much more to do with a court of public opinion, I think, than there is necessarily to do with litigation and, you know, the desire to go to court on these matters. And what you see is a cadre of individuals who really are speaking truth to power, but also saying, look, we don't have to, it doesn't have to be this way. And the more that we speak up, right, the more that, you know, this is not the kind of politics that we want. And politics as usual is unacceptable, particularly when it comes to sexual assault.
We're talking to Vanessa Tyson from Scripps College, looking at today's press conference and interview. Three of the women who had accused Donald Trump of various kinds of sexual misconduct before his time running for office. They held a press conference, interviews today. I want to hear now from UN ambassador and former Republican Governor Nikki Haley. She was on Face the Nation on CBS yesterday talking to host John Dickerson. Here's a listen.
Women who accuse anyone should be heard. They should be heard and they should be dealt with. And I think we heard from them prior to the election. And I think any woman who has felt violated or felt mistreated in any way, they have every right to speak up.
And does the election mean that's a settled issue?
That's for the people to decide. I know that he was elected, but, you know, women should always feel comfortable coming forward, and we should all be willing to listen to them.
And responding there to the administration's line on this, including from Sarah Huckabee Sanders, that, well, the people judged this issue when they voted in Donald Trump. So what do you make of that back and forth of what we're hearing from the administration and from their appointee there, Nikki Haley?
Well, I certainly think that Nikki Haley is right that the women who are coming forward should be heard out. That is, I think, a beautiful part of, you know, the United States, is that victims shall have the right to speak up about their experiences. What I would say, however, is that, you know, the Trump administration has repeatedly kind of exercised patterns of abuses of power, as well as a willingness to impede investigations. So what I'm hoping to see is a dynamic where, even if, you know, an electorate is, you know, may decide that they want a certain person to represent them, and I would still argue that it's debatable whether or not, you know, Trump won a popular vote. He won the Electoral College vote. I think the issue becomes is whether or not we will stand for repeated abuses of power. Which I think is a kind of clear characterization of the current Trump administration.
Now, we saw Senator Al Franken in his case. There was a picture that really started the ball rolling. A woman released a picture of him apparently grabbing or reaching toward her breast while she was sleeping during a USO tour. Then since then, mm-hmm. we heard a lot of women come forward. He admitted sort of to a little bit of what was going on, and now he's resigned. Does it matter how much proof is out there? If a politician can just say, nope, didn't happen, and there's no proof to the contrary, is that it? We can't go any further from there?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think that that's the sole benefit that comes here. What I mean to say is that by women coming forward, it doesn't mean that that a politician is necessarily going to resign, or that he or she might resign, you know, subsequently, you know, in the future. But what we do know, however, is that the more women come forward and tell their stories and speak about their experiences, the more likely it is that voters have a better understanding and more information upon which to base their votes. So it's not necessarily something that the change happens overnight. In fact, rarely that's the case. Instead, what we see is that the change may happen incrementally as you find more corroborating evidence over time. And that corroborating evidence, in some cases, may simply be the fact that these stories in many cases mirror each other and show so much commonality that it's that you can determine a pattern upon which to make your own decisions as a voter. So while I'm not saying that Trump or Al Franken or whomever is or is not a sexual predator, what I am saying is that, you know, these patterns of behavior lend more information to the American public about who this person is and whether or not they abuse their celebrity status and the position that they have assumed.
We're talking to Vanessa Tyson from Scripps College now about the news that a few of the women accusing President Trump of sexual misconduct today are calling for Congress to investigate.
And you can join the conversation now at 800-642-1234. Do you think Congress should investigate allegations against the president? How do you think those allegations should be handled? The White House released a statement today saying these accusations were addressed before the election and the American people expressed their judgment with Trump's victory. Do you agree with that? Call in now at 800-642-1234. Again, that's 800-642-1234. Or you can email ideas at WPR.org.
We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Jay Carlisle-Larson. We're picking up our conversation now with Vanessa Tyson from Scripps College. We're talking about the press conference held by three of the women who have accused President Trump of sexual misconduct. These accusers are calling for an investigation into the allegations against the president.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. How do you think these allegations against the president should be investigated? Is something different now than it was before the election, after the Harvey Weinstein case and all the other cases of sexual harassment that have come out into the public eye and resignations and firings that have happened since then? Or do you agree with the president and his press secretary that the American people looked at this issue and absolved him, in effect, because he won the election? Call in at 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Go right to our callers now. Daniel is with us in Toma. Daniel, hi.
Yeah, I'd like to know why, you know, you guys are trying to accuse the president. They should have brought it up before, but personally, I know a lot of women that use their body to also get ahead in life or use it to your advantage, and I'm not saying I've never groped a woman. I would never advance myself on a woman, and I don't see someone that remembers that you're on an airplane in 1974 and someone groped you. I mean, come on. What airline was available in 1974?
Gotcha, Daniel. So a couple points there. Why the women didn't come forward earlier, I guess, is one of the points Daniel was making.
And I think I can speak to that, at least. What I've noticed with survivors, and, you know, I helped found the Survivor Speakers Bureau for the Boston Area Rape Crisis Center back in 2002, is that usually you don't want to think about it, and usually it isn't a story that necessarily is going to carry much weight. In many cases, survivors and you know, as a byproduct of our society, our survivors are often told that, you know, through various implicit as well as explicit means, that they won't be believed, that unless you actually have the kind of evidence that police would want or lawyers would require, that you shouldn't come forward, that you should stay quiet. But the fact is that, you know, when we look at the numbers alone, just of the amount of sexual violence that happens in everyday interactions, the amount of sexual violence that happens on college campuses, you know, that it's not a reasonable expectation to assume that survivors have to immediately come forth. In many cases, it takes a great amount of time and energy and just will to try to process what they've been through, when the reality is that it would be so much easier and more desirable to forget.
We'll go next to Jim on the line in West Bend. Jim, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say something to your guest. I think probably a lot of women are probably afraid to come forward with, you know, very rich and powerful people, that those people are going to retaliate.
Jim, thanks a lot for that call. Go ahead, Vanessa.
Certainly. I mean, especially when you're dealing with, you know, someone with the likes of the power of Harvey Weinstein, the power of Donald Trump, and we've seen the kind of clout that they're willing to wield against those who would challenge them. It's certainly reasonable and rational to fear the kind of backlash and the kind of anger and animosity that these powerful men certainly have and are willing to use. For most of the women that I've worked with and some of the men that I've worked with who are sexual assault survivors, one thing that I've found repeatedly is that a case of believing that no one will actually believe them, right? As well as this perception that the system disproportionately benefits perpetrators of sexual violence and not those who come forward. So you may be subject to all sorts of legal ramifications. You may suffer, you know, from bias against women in the job, particularly if you come forward related to sexual harassment, and so on and so forth. And women disproportionately lack the kind of job security and financial security that allows them to exercise kind of basic levels of freedom when it comes to asserting themselves and talking about their experiences.
Thanks for the call. We'll go next to Kimberly with us in Escanaba, Michigan. Kimberly, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to bring up, Kimberly?
Well, the fact that Trump had managed to get in office doesn't necessarily give him a free pass on the allegations, especially with the quantity of people who have come forward and the fact that he's on in a magazine admitting that he had grabbed women. He was on a radio shock jock station saying the same thing. And he was in a magazine also quoted as saying that he had grabbed women. And so I don't get the pass necessarily just because he made it to office.
And Kimberly, we heard, of course, the Access Hollywood tapes last year where he had described behavior that some of the victims coming forward, the alleged victims coming forward, said he did. And also, here's a listen, I think, to something you were referencing. Donald Trump in 2005 talking to Howard Stern about walking into the dressing room at beauty pageants that he was the owner of.
I'll go backstage before a show.
Yes.
And everyone's getting dressed and ready. And I'm allowed to go in because I'm the owner of the pageant, and therefore I'm inspecting it.
Is everyone okay?
You know, they're standing there with no clothes. Is everybody okay? And you see these incredible-looking women. And so I sort of get away with things like that.
So in both those cases, Vanessa, Donald Trump, now President Trump, describing the behavior that his accusers are accusing him of.
Certainly. I mean, you know, it seems like it's a pattern of abuse of power, but a pattern of clearly lecherous behavior. I think what's interesting as well is, you know, with reference to the Access Hollywood hot mic that he happened to be caught talking about this, you know, the dynamic of grabbing women by their genitalia, is this reality that he has since in more recent weeks, you know, tried to revise that history and saying that it wasn't really him on the tape. With Trump, you know, and with any elected official, you know, there's a dynamic of politics which is that you are offering to be a public servant, and in so doing, you know, these are the last people who deserve a free pass when it comes to sexual assault and sexual misconduct. In fact, these are the people who are voluntarily trying to lead our country, and I think they should be held to a much higher standard.
Vanessa Tyson is with us, assistant professor of politics at Scripps College, looking at accusations against Donald Trump of sexual misconduct. These were out, most of them before the election, getting another look with a press conference. Three of his accusers today saying Congress should investigate. Back to your calls now. Melissa is with us in Madison. Melissa, hi.
Hi. I'm really agreeing with your the guests you have, but just the fact that he is the president, doesn't give him a free pass. And I agree with her, like, he should be held even more accountable. And I feel like he spurred on all of this culture with his behavior before the election. We have the Women's March, you know, we're having all these women come out now because they feel like they have to now. And I feel like the current culture is really giving them, you know, they're seeing that people are actually being, you know, losing their jobs, or they're being punished in some way for what they're doing instead of it just being swept under the rug. And I feel like that's another reason why it's so important they're coming out now with all of these allegations.
Well, to respond to that, I don't know that I think Melissa used the term they have to, and I really think the fact is that they now can. And the reason why this is that, you know, so many survivors across the country are realizing that they're not alone. And while, you know, there's certainly tangent going around about not all men are sexual predators. Of course they're not. But the reality, however, is that there are so many sexual predators out there who are repeated offenders. Right. It's rarely is it just one person who they have trespassed against. In fact, you know, with Donald Trump, you know, we have over a dozen women who have come forward to talk about what they went through. With Harvey Weinstein, you're looking at literally scores of women coming forward about, you know, his sexually predatory behavior over the past three decades. So I think the reality that more and more women are coming forward precisely because they realize they aren't alone. And that's, I think, the overwhelming and overarching benefit even of this, of the Me Too movement, is this reality that women realize they're not alone. And the more they start talking about it, the more they put the pieces together and draw the connections that this is an epidemic. This is not simply their one isolated case. It didn't just happen to them. It happened to, you know, to millions of women across the country, and it's something that can be addressed. Right. If you don't talk, then other people, other survivors of this same sexual predator, may feel that they're alone and isolated when they're not.
Vanessa, briefly, as we wrap up, is this Me Too moment just a moment, or is this something that's going to, you think, create a lasting change?
It could be the former, but I'm guessing that it's the latter, that there will be lasting change related to awareness regarding sexual assault and sexual violence, sexual harassment. Whether we're talking about, you know, they're on dates, whether we're talking about on college campuses, whether we're talking about in the workplace, what we're seeing is, a consciousness that is raised, but also the fact that for those people who may not have been victims of sexual assault or sexual harassment, for those people who may never have preyed upon others, right? Now they're all of a sudden getting, you know, this overwhelming, you know, reality check that sexual assault is so prominent and so pervasive in this society. And I do believe that once you know, you can't not know, right? So this movement, it's not just a moment. It's a movement, and it's a movement that has power that will have long-lasting implications far beyond the 2018 elections and well into the future. And I hope that means that there will be significant change, particularly as my students enter the workplace.
Vanessa, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's Vanessa Tyson, Assistant Professor of Politics at Scripps College. She joined us to look at the press conference some of President Trump's accusers held today asking for a congressional investigation.